Launchpad and water research. It's all on Tennessee Tech Today this week. Hello, everyone. I'm Buddy Pearson, the News and Public Relations Director at Tennessee Tech. Thanks for tuning in to the award-winning Tennessee Tech Today show. Well, the first year of college can be challenging for students in many ways. To support them and their transition to college life, Tennessee Tech has created the Launchpad Student Success Center. This new center, located on the first floor of the Volpe Library, focuses on first-year student advising, transition, career readiness and success, with an additional emphasis on assisting undecided, undeclared students with career and major exploration and selection. And with us to talk about Launchpad is Alan Mullis, the Executive Director for Student Success, and Simone McAlvey, the Director of the Launchpad Student Success Center. Alan, just talk a little bit about, you know, how this came about and you know, what the vision is for Launchpad.
For first-year students, there's a lot of challenges that, you know, they often face in just their general transition to campus as a whole. Is not only just focused on academics and acclimation, but then overall just constantly that additional support throughout their first year. And so Launchpad, really the framework behind it was creating a consistent experience for them for their first year with a supportive team of professional advisors, as well as additional programming and events and really just an overall feel to create this connectedness with students on campus and our first-year students as a whole, with the support system and structure, and of course working with the colleges in order to ensure that students are properly advised and that they're enrolled in courses that they need to successfully transition after their sophomore or after their freshman year to their sophomore year.
And there's actually a place where they can go to you know, be, I guess, participate in Launchpad, or I mean, you actually have a place in the library, of all places. Yeah.
Yeah, we're very, very thankful that Dean Bates and his team in the library, we have a nice space down on the first floor, a whole suite that our team is housed, that students can come. They have a nice lounging area. Of course, after this whole COVID thing it changes a little bit more, our students will have a great space to come down and meet with their advisors, engage with their advisors, as well as, honestly, just it's centralized too in the library, which is a great thing. That's where students are at. The center is easily accessible for students, and especially our first-year students, it's easy to find as well. So it's right down the hall from our testing center, our tutoring center. And also too, they're in the library. You know, they're studying, they're working on group projects. So it's housed in a great location for them.
And how has it been received so far from the students?
You know, as we're still in this virtual stance, but from what Simone has shared with me and what we have seen, you know, it is it's well received. It's easy to find. You know, if you know where the library is at, and if they don't, it's a great way for them to find where the library is at. And then additionally too, they really enjoy the type of environment, the furniture that's picked out, the branding, all the tech pride that's in there. It's really a great energetic location and feel when they walk in.
Simone, did you pick the furniture out?
I did, and that was actually one of the more fun parts of this process is I got a chance to work with the project managers over in facilities, Nicole Sims in particular. And we looked at fabric and we looked at different kinds of chairs and just we wanted the environment to be inviting. And so although we've been doing a lot of things virtually, we have had a handful of students come in. And to keep everyone safe, usually if they physically come in, the advisor will leave their office space and they'll meet with them in one of our conference rooms.
Okay.
So that they can be a little bit more physically distant. But some students just want it to be face to face. So thankfully, we've been able to do that.
Yeah. And as the director of Launchpad, what exactly are your duties and, you know, what all does that entail?
So when I first came to Tech, I was directing advisement and retention services and looking at how to keep our students, because that's important, and also training and development for professional as well as faculty advisors. I'm still doing that. But in addition to that, I am directing a staff of professional advisors and one assistant director so that we can give those first-time freshmen what they need and also undecided transfer students what they need in their adjustment to Tech and ultimately picking a major that fits best with them for the undecided part of our population. And then, as Alan said, giving those that are already in a major a really consistent foundation for their first year and then a smooth transition over to the college-based either Student Success Center or faculty member who's going to advise them next.
And I'm sure there's some challenges that's been going on with COVID and those sort of things. So how have you been able to, you know, handle or just face those challenges?
I think one of the things that I've recommended and that I've been doing too is when a faculty member submits an alert, and if it's related to that they're concerned that the student's going to leave Tech, it's called a withdrawal risk alert. Mm-hmm. And even before Launchpad, I would call those students and just have a conversation and kind of see what their semester has been like, what are the challenges, what resources, campus resources or off-campus resources that we can connect them to, and just trying to have conversations. One of the things that advisors have seen is more or higher levels of anxiety in the students.
Yeah.
And we know that's just across the country, but also
everybody.
Right, exactly. Not just students,
not just
right?
Students.
Staff members too. But really having conversations about getting them connected to resources and giving them kind of a toolbox of things they can do of what do you do when you're feeling anxious? Who are some of your support, human supports, as well as other supports that you've put in place to help you so that you don't get stuck in a rut and stay there?
Yeah.
And so having those kinds of conversations with advisors as well as with students so that hopefully they can navigate the time and come out on the other side successfully.
Yeah. And what is the rewarding part for you as the director?
Well, it's been a long road just to be able to get to where we are actually physically in a new space. It's a beautiful space. And then, as Alan said, to be welcomed by the library staff, it was great. Even when our space was being renovated, we were welcomed where we were able to use some of the student study rooms upstairs on the main level. And then when it was time to move, to just be easily able or to easily be able to move downstairs instead of across campus was great. So for me, I just want us to see students succeed and for them to start at Tech and finish at Tech and for us to do everything that we can that's in their best interest.
And I guess there's probably a way to be able to look and evaluate how successful Launchpad is at some point, and what would be that way?
First-year retention, that simply put it. But it's a lot of different factors. You know, we want to look at students changing majors, for example. You know, their transition from one program to another. You know, one of the indicators if we're not advising or getting them acclimated into their programs out of the gate, and that's also working with the colleges and those academic departments too to do that, it's ensuring that those students are prepared for what they're getting into, what their programs, what their career interests are, and all that stuff. And so within my area, you know, we're infusing career readiness with the Center for Career Development. We're in the process now of developing programs for that first year and first year experience, working with my new student family programs team as well to ensure that that transition process looks as smooth as possible, as well as getting students acclimated. And so, you know, there's always the co-curricular activities, but there's also the extracurricular activities as well that really set students up for success. So all that coming back to say, simply put, it's our fall-to-fall freshman retention, but honestly, it's going to be the students' willingness to continue to persist at Tennessee Tech past that first year, too. It's a team effort. Launchpad is just a small piece of the puzzle, but it's going to rely on our campus, too, to continue to assess and look at opportunities that we are presented with to leverage Launchpad, but then also to identify challenges that maybe students are facing, regardless if it's curriculum, if it's class attendance. I mean, there's a whole different, you know, there's a lot of components that go into student persistence. And so we're just excited to have a dedicated staff for that first year as well. And also to have a staff that, you know, working with Simone's leadership as well as to ensure they're trained on that first year and how to best support those students. And so, you know, we're all in this together. We are Tennessee Tech. And we are just glad to be able to take this new initiative and kind of pioneer something different here.
Yeah. And with Tennessee Tech's commitment to student success and initiatives such as Launchpad, do you think this sets us apart from other universities that are out there?
I think it does. When we were looking at this initiative at the ground level, you know, there's schools that you want to benchmark and, you know, really aspire to be. And then there's schools that have different advising structures altogether. And so I think the current opportunity with Launchpad that we have set forth is really unique to Tech. It's based on faculty and staff input. As well as, you know, the directive of to best support our first year students, and if we know we get them through that first year, we're more likely to have a happier student body. but then also too that, you know, those students help recruit their friends and their relatives and all that other stuff. And we all know that if we get students here on Tech's campus and if we get students to Cookeville, Tennessee, they will fall in love with the place and the area. And so. All that being said, we're really doing something that is unique to Tech, I think probably unique to some of our peers in the state. But additionally, too, we're also looking at this from a we have to look at Tech and what Tech students' needs are, and we believe this is a great opportunity to do that with Launchpad.
Yeah, and you know the 2021 academic year has been, you know, absolutely challenging, and for students who have come in and this has been their first year in college. Absolutely been challenging. But the good thing is we've about made it through this academic year. We start looking toward the summer, and then we start looking toward fall of 2021. And Alan, I know you have a lot going on this summer with SOAR coming up, and that's always an exciting time when you see, you know, new students come in and they're with their families, and you just, you know, you get to see that excitement again. And maybe there'll be some more excitement this summer maybe than there was opposed to last summer.
I'm hoping this summer we can see all the smiles at some point. In general, yes, we are. I think campus is ready. I know we're all ready as a society to get back. But this summer with orientation, you know, we're taking precautions, you know, based on, you know, guidance from the state, from the CDC, from the university as a whole. But additionally, too, we want to create that experience that our students are coming to Tech for. And we will do that in a safe manner, and we'll do that based on the guidance from the health professionals as well. And we are excited for SOAR. We're excited for summer orientation as a whole and welcome our new freshmen and transfer students on our campus because they've been here probably for a preview day, for a showcase event, or seen something virtually about us. But this is the next step in their enrollment, and we're excited to get them in front of the people. Of course, socially distanced and safe as possible, to let them know that they're actually real people here to help support them and get them to that end goal. Plus, parents love our parents and families that come in over the summer as well and get to meet them and learn either they're alumni or they're not. Either way, it's always great conversations during orientation. So I'm definitely looking forward to the summer as well.
Great, Simone. Anything else from you?
Our staff is looking forward to starting to pre-enroll our students, as you all know. If you're a first-time freshman, you don't have to select your classes yourself and navigate that alone. We usually set up a schedule for you, and then we can discuss that with you in person when you come to campus for SOAR. So we're looking forward to starting that next month, and I think that's it.
And we're going to take a break. When we come back, we'll talk water research in Gainesboro. Stay with us.
You can't predict the future, but you can count on Tennessee Tech University always putting students first. Tech understands today's challenges and helps students by showing strength, compassion, patience, kindness, and common sense. We put students first on a safe, accessible campus close to home. That's what you can count on at Tennessee Tech. Find out more at tntech.edu/wingsup.
Welcome back to Tennessee Tech Today. In 8 years, Tanya Dada has been at Tennessee Tech. She has worked on several water-related projects. An associate professor in civil and environmental engineering, Dada's research usually focuses on water resources as well as water quality and wastewater treatment. Dada's current research project focuses on some of the water issues happening in nearby Gainesboro, a small town in Jackson County.
So what are some of the research projects that you've worked on over the years?
Over the years, I, along with my collaborators and my students, have worked on many water-related projects. My field of study is water. We focus on different topics on water resources, as well as water quality and wastewater treatment. And we have done a lot of state-funded projects, especially, as well as gotten involved with national and international projects. All of them have to do with the protection of communities from any kind of water disasters, such as floods or stormwater issues, or anything that has to do with the treatment of water or protecting our water quality.
Yeah. Here we are in Gainesboro, and obviously you have some research going on here. Just talk a little bit about the research project here.
Yeah, this project is actually very exciting for us, our team. And when I say our team, no research project can be done in isolation. So none of my research projects are just me. They involve my collaborators, and my biggest collaborator at Tennessee Tech is Dr. Kalyanathu. And then, of course, our team involves all our students, as I said. They are the ones who are doing most of the work. So Gainesboro, the project that we are working on, is really exciting because I'm sure many of you guys have noticed that whenever there is a disaster, a natural disaster, or an issue, environmental issue, most of the focus always goes to the urban areas. Very few people are focusing on the underserved communities or the rural communities. And Jackson County and Gainesboro is one of those communities. They are rural, they are underserved, they are economically distressed. And so they also have a lot of water issues. In fact, in June of 2018 and February of 2019, they had some big flood events. Their emergency management systems building, which is their 911 building, their library all got flooded. And because they do not have a lot of resources, what happened is we got the opportunity to collaborate or partner with them to address some of these issues. So it was a true university-community partnership, which was mediated by the Tennessee Department of Environment and Conservation. And the whole idea about the project was to bring in students to work on these hands-on issues hands-on problem solving, where they could understand what communities go through and develop a skill set to solve these problems. So we've been working with Gainesboro since, I think, July of 2019, so it's been a few years. Earlier, when we started working on the project, we really didn't know what the issues were in relationship to stormwater management. But we have installed a lot of sensors over here that are monitoring the water levels, monitoring the weather. And so we are collecting a lot of data from the town. And using those data, we are going to develop models in the future, and we've already started working a little bit on that, mm-hmm. In order to predict how these floods happen, and also to propose mitigation measures for floods.
And what do you expect to find from this research?
Well, it is going to be a community impact research. What we are going to find is, at the end of the day, we are going to help the community understand what was causing the issue and hopefully guide them towards a certain solution which they can address to solve the issue. We kind of know what the issue is, but it's still a very preliminary finding, and my student Macy Arms, who's working on this project, she will continue that as a graduate degree, and we will try to really understand what the issue is and communicate it to the community.
Great. And I guess, how far can you take this research? You know, what's the next step after this?
So the next step, we are still in the data collection phase, to be honest. The next step is taking that data and developing models, different models using the data. And that's where my collaborator, Dr. Kalyanathu, comes in. He is more of a water modeler, so he'll be using a lot of different models. Of course, Macy will be working on them. The models are able to pinpoint what the different issues can be, and we are probably going to go and field verify those issues. And once we address them, or once we understand them, we'll be able to communicate to the town of Gainesboro that either you need to maybe improve your stormwater infrastructure, you know, or you need to take care of your floodplain management, something like that. And that's what will be the outcome of the project. Now, one thing we are also aware of, that there are not a lot of resources for the community to apply for grants or write grants even. So we'll probably be helping them through that, writing grants or applying for grants to get money so that they can improve their current infrastructure.
Alfred Kalyanapu is an associate professor in civil and environmental engineering who is also assisting on the water project in Gainsborough.
Now, I know we were talking with Tiny Dada about the research that's going on here in Gainsborough and the collection of the data that you are getting. When that data is collected, then what?
So all this data, it's not being housed somewhere and just sits idle. The goal here is to bring all this data together and build computer models that can simulate, given a particular amount of rain, where would all the water go and how will that water go? So if it goes fast and if it goes with deeper waters, then you're essentially talking about floods. Mm-hmm. If it doesn't, then it's drought. So we'll try to look at the hydrology of water in this watershed.
And once you have looked at the data and you've analyzed it, and then you come up with a model to help the city of Gainsborough?
That's right. So the way the model can be applied is it can simulate what happened in the past, but also you can look at future predictions. So if National Weather Service says there is 7 inches of rain expected in the coming 24 hours, one can hypothetically run these models and figure out what are all the hot spots where they might have high flood levels. So the emergency management folks can go in and maybe clear those areas or vacate those areas, et cetera. So it's operational as well as in general maintenance.
And what's been the response of the emergency folks here in Jackson County for the work that you're doing?
We are definitely working very closely with them. And so far, from whatever I can see, they really appreciate the partnership that we have at Tennessee Tech with them. And they are on the same boat. They see the value of prior information so that they can use that information to get people out of harm's way. So the data that we are collecting, some of the data is stored somewhere. You have to go in and download every 1 week or so. But the new technology that we are using, which we developed here at Tennessee Tech, is a low-cost technology, and it is a real-time technology. We use small sensors, chips, basically computers on a chip, and we design these sensors that measure water level at the site and immediately publish them on a website. So you can actually open a web browser and see what the water level is without actually going to the flood-prone area.
Wow.
So that is another aspect that the emergency managers are excited about.
Yeah. And how long do you think this research, or it's going to take to get the information, the data that you need to really make the models and to be helpful?
That's a good question, but it is also a hard question. It's not very easy to say. Like Dr. Datta was saying, we are at the beginning phase of the model where we are collecting as much data as possible. If I were to guess, I would say maybe a few years we collect the data and we really can rely on the predictions of the model, then maybe after a few years we can say, yeah, we have a mature model that can simulate a variety of scenarios.
Is there anything else you want to add or include, maybe that we haven't already touched on?
Not quite. I mean, the one thing that I will reiterate is this is a partnership program. Mm-hmm. We, as a university, we are providing service, not just education to our students, but we're also serving our partners and our local communities, hopefully in the long run, that also serves as a great example of others to follow too. So,
Macy Arms is one of the students working with Dada on the project.
So my name is Macy Arms, and I am a senior undergraduate student studying civil engineering and foreign languages here at Tennessee Tech.
Yeah, and where are you from?
I'm actually from Cookeville, Tennessee.
Really?
Yes.
So why go to Tennessee Tech? What made you want to go to Tennessee Tech?
So there were so many reasons why I chose Tennessee Tech. Both my dad, grandfather, and great-grandfather, and grandmother all went to Tennessee Tech. My grandparents actually met here at Tennessee Tech, so it's a bit of a tradition in my family. Also, it was just a really affordable option that had a great engineering program, so it was very appealing to me.
Yeah. So during your undergraduate, what are some of the things that you've really enjoyed about being at Tennessee Tech?
So some of the things that I've really enjoyed and have been very impressed with at Tennessee Tech is the amount of opportunities that they have for undergraduate students. There are so many different clubs in both of my majors, in civil engineering and foreign languages, for students to get involved with, such as Engineers Without Borders. I've been fortunate to serve as president of that, and through that we've been able to do several projects to help people both at the local level and international level as well.
Awesome. Well, tell us a little bit about the curriculum and kind of the things that you've got to experience from a research perspective.
So I've really enjoyed some of the classes that I've taken within the environmental classes within the civil engineering department. I took a hydrology class last semester under Dr. Alfred Kalyanapu, and we actually used this Gainsborough project as a teaching tool for the class, and we developed a model within the class, something that normally students don't get to do until they enter the workforce. I was able to work on that as an undergraduate student. So
talk a little bit about the research here in Jackson County and kind of your involvement in that.
Yes, so I became involved with this research in 2019. I participated in a summer research SICE grant funded by the university, and was fortunate enough to be able to really start collecting data for this project under the advisement of both Dr. Tanya Dada and Dr. Alfred Kalyanapu. And this project really appealed to me because I've wanted to use my engineering to help people, and I think that that's exactly what this project does, using engineering in order to empower a local rural community.
When you say collect data, what does that mean specifically?
Yes, so a lot of data collection was necessary for this project, specifically downloading data from government websites, partnering with people in the community to collect relevant information, as well as installing different pieces of equipment. So we've installed Dr. Alfred Kalyanapu's ultrasonic real-time sensors, as well as Bluetooth hobo water level loggers. And we've also installed a rain gauge. And so all of these pieces of equipment monitor different things, monitor water level, and then our weather station monitors both precipitation levels, as well as wind depth, relative humidity, and several other things as well.
And what do you want to do with this research? Specifically you, what are you getting from this or this project?
So I'm continuing this research into my master's here at Tennessee Tech, and I will be further analyzing the data that we've collected throughout this project and developing models. And I really plan to use this research in order to allow me to have experiences that I need to both figure out what I want to do with my career and just be able to help a rural community as well.
Thomas Harris is another student helping with the project.
Where are you from, Thomas?
I'm from Springfield, Tennessee. It's around 30 minutes north of Nashville in this little hometown. My graduating class is around 300 students, something like that.
Awesome. Mm-hmm. And what brought you to Tennessee Tech?
So originally I started out at the University of Tennessee at Knoxville. Everybody told me I would fit in very well there. And so I went, and I just had a difficulty transitioning from high school to college, especially in that type of setting where you're in 300 student classrooms. Mm-hmm. And my sister had graduated from Tennessee Tech and just had great things to say. She was hired on as Dow at the Dow Chemical Company, and which is a really great chemical engineering company. And so after a year at UTK, I transferred to Tennessee Tech, and I've been here for around 3 years now. It's been really, really great.
So what is it about this major that you enjoy?
I entered the civil engineering major not really knowing what I wanted to focus in. My dad wanted me to do more construction, wanted me to design airports within Honduras, where my family's originally from. And I never enjoyed any of the structures classes. Always found them difficult. But then I took Dr. Dada's environmental engineering class, and I realized I could help people and help underprivileged communities and do different things that's helped the environment as well.
Yeah. So talk a little bit about this particular project that you're working on. What is your role here?
So I was asked to join this project around a year ago. I was working on another project with one of Dr. Dada's graduate students, and I was here during the summer, and Dr. Dada was like, "Okay, you can work on this project. We need another helping hand, so join it." And Macy Arms is the leader. It's being around her has been an incredible blessing, learning from her and seeing how she works. But I joined and we started by identifying the stormwater systems within Gainsborough and identifying how that could be a possible reasoning as to why the flooding happens here. But like I said before, whenever you're, as an engineer, helping underprivileged communities by using our knowledge, I think is one of the main reasons as to why people do engineering and why I've done it. And so this is a project that encompasses all of that, which is really, really awesome.
Yeah. And so what are some of the things that you're finding out in the time that you've been doing the research?
No, one of the big things that I found out about, specifically while I've been working with them, is that there needs to be more updated stormwater infrastructure. There needs to be more information on their stormwater infrastructure. It needs to be properly managed a little bit better. That was probably one of the big takeaways I've seen within the past summer and the past couple months that I've been working with them.
Now, when are you going to graduate?
I'm going to graduate this December, actually. And then hopefully, if Dr. Dada and Dr. Kalyanapu are nice enough, I'll be their graduate student.
Okay, so we'll see great. How that goes. Yeah. So you plan on staying at Tennessee Tech and working on a master's?
Yeah. You know, whenever you get... I started participating in undergraduate research around 2 years ago now. And being around them, they are one of the biggest professionals within their field, and they know so much information. So getting an opportunity to work with them is an absolute blessing. And to be around their graduate students, that means they're at another level. And, you know, if I get that opportunity, I would love to take it.
And that's going to wrap up Tennessee Tech Today for this week. Be sure to check out the T2 website at tntech.edu. And check us out on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Until next week's show, be bold, fearless, confident, and kind. Wings up, everybody.